This is the People's Game. I'm Alan Minsky, and I'm joined right now by Ziggy Marley. Ziggy Marley, in all likelihood, needs no introduction. He is a multiple Grammy-winning recording artist, and he is the leader of the band Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers. Welcome to the People's Game, Ziggy Marley.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're just back from South Africa, where you attended the World Cup. Just start off and tell us what your experiences were like down in South Africa.
Yeah, we got there, and, you know, it was pretty cold when we got there. We went into Johannesburg, then we traveled around a little bit. We were on motorcycles. We went up to a city called Bloemfontein, where we saw Nigeria and Greece. And then we went back to Johannesburg, where we saw Brazil and Ivory Coast. Then we went up to a city called Rustenburg, where we saw Ghana versus Australia. But, you know, before we went, we had a lot of people telling us, oh, be careful and all these type of things, how dangerous it was over there. But we had a good time, and, you know, all that danger talk, we didn't really experience any of that. We saw a lot of people from all over the world there having a really good time. So I think everybody was surprised by how cool over there is, you know.
If I'm correct, you play soccer, right? And you've played it your entire life.
Yeah.
And you're a big soccer fan?
Yeah, man, definitely.
What teams impressed you that you saw live?
Well, I was really impressed by Ghana. I thought, you know, I had them, before I even left for the World Cup, I was like, all right, the African country is going to be in the finals. And so when we were there, the whole excitement with how far Ghana reached, you know, what happened to them was very... Well, we were very upset with what happened at the end with the guy blocking the ball with his hands in the goal and all that type of thing. But, you know, Ghana was very impressive and represented Africa very well.
What did it mean to you to attend the first World Cup on the African continent?
Well, you know, Africa is a big deal to us. And, you know, I mean, my father took me to Africa for the first time when he went to Zimbabwe to celebrate the independence there. So from that day on, my mind was kind of opened up to Africa and the struggles of Africa from slavery to colonial days. And I started to, you know, to study more about Africa and the history of Africa, because when I used to go to school in Jamaica, they didn't really teach us much about Africa. And so that journey kind of made me open my eyes and made me start to learn a lot more about Africa and the struggle that was happening there.
You know, we've used a number of different songs as theme songs on this show, and the latest song we've been playing is Master Blaster by Stevie Wonder, which is both a song that celebrates your father's life and work and also mentions Zimbabwean independence in the song. And it's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Were you able to sort of get off of the World Cup path and travel around South Africa away from, you know,
yeah,
the various
venues? The World Cup was only like a backdrop to what we were doing still. We were there riding on motorcycles around the countryside, doing some camping, meeting some people in the rural areas of South Africa. And also, the whole effort we had was trying to do a free concert, which we accomplished that. You know, it wasn't something that we had pre-planned, but we had hoped to do it. So while we were there, we were trying to find people who were willing to help us to get that done. And we did that in Soweto.
Wow.
Which was very significant for me. You know, I mean, Soweto was the name that I associated a lot with the struggle against apartheid. So we saw a lot of the countryside, and we actually did some riding on the freeways, which are very well built freeways, and people travel very fast on them. So it's kind of scary, you know, but we made it.
And how did the concert go? Tell us a little bit about the concert. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, the concert was in Soweto. It was a free concert we did for the people there. It went well. You know, before we left, we tried to get some support from, you know, the corporate people over there and you know, the FIFA people and all these things. But it was impossible. So we went there with the determination that, well, we're going to get this done with or without that. And so we met people, and eventually we got some help from from some corporate people who had this venue in Soweto where people went to watch games on big screens. And so we asked them to, you know, loan us the place so that we want to do this free concert there for the people in Soweto. And they agreed to that. And it was a good turnout. The police, they almost shut us down in the middle of the song because they said a lot of people were smoking marijuana and they were going to stop the show, but they didn't stop it. And so we continued. And it was very peaceful there. You know, I think my brother who was with me, Ron, because they came up to him and said, we have to stop the show. The police is going to stop the show. Everybody's smoking marijuana. They're going to start locking up people. And he said, but look at the people. Everybody's peaceful. There's nobody who's making any trouble there, you know. So, but it all turned out very well for us there. The concert went well and people enjoyed it. It was the first time I was playing in South Africa. And I played a lot of my father's music because I felt that was a good for me to represent him there. He would have been there, and his music is very powerful in Africa. So I did a lot of his music and a few of mine.
You know, I've seen, of course, footage of your father, obviously playing music, but I've seen footage of him playing football, and he was a fantastic football player.
Yeah, man, he was a good football player.
And yourself, are you also?
I've played all through my school years. We won a few championships in high school. With the team I was on there. I'm all right. I'm pretty good in the midfield.
And did you get to play at all in South Africa?
No, you know, well, I got an injury early. I had a knee operation earlier this year. Got injured playing soccer.
Ah.
So I wasn't up to it, you know, I was so tempted, you know.
I got one or two more questions for you, but let me remind listeners that I'm speaking with Ziggy Marley here on The People's Game. And your music, your family's music, I very much associate with trying to elevate people's consciousness and at the same time to bring about an elevated global consciousness. Now, certainly the World Cup is probably the most popular cultural event, single cultural event in the world. Did you sense that the nature of what was transpiring in South Africa was elevating people's consciousness? Do you see the tournament working in that way in any sense?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a tournament, though. I think it's people. I think the tournament bringing people together, but I don't think the tournament is actively out there. To what I saw, I don't see it actively doing anything with an agenda of like the world, and you know they're doing a soccer thing. They know the world is coming together, but I don't think they're active enough actually in terms of the cooperation that is FIFA and all of those involved. I think they could be much more active. But what I saw was people, because we joined lines going into the stadium for one of the games. And the people, I mean, African people are loving people, sharing people. So the vibe there was, and it didn't even matter which team, I mean, the Australians got a little rowdy in the games that we went to. But the host country and the people of the continent of Africa, they're so open-minded and so loving of all people that this is what we saw. But it's because of the people, it's not because of FIFA. Because of people, you know, so it all depends, you know, how the host country and the people of that country are as people, and less on what FIFA, or the World Cup, is promoting. Because, you know, it is when you get down to it, is the normal people who are going into the stadium mixed in with everybody else, the opponent, and you know, you mix with the opponents and everybody, but there was still. It was a celebration, you know?
I think the world was very impressed, and of course this is a part of the texture of your family's music, a sense not only just of globalism, but also of Pan-Africanism. And I think the world was extremely impressed with the way that the people of Africa got behind Ghana. And as I think most people in the world tracked the tournament, there was a real sense of disappointment that they didn't go forward. because I do think that had Ghana gone into the semifinals against the Netherlands, which by all measure they sort of earned the right to, and then it didn't happen that way, it really would have been a beautiful expression of human solidarity.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Because the other thing, that one of my purpose for going to Africa at this time and using the World Cup as a backdrop was to kind of remind people of the idea of African unity. You know, and we did that in the concert. I did that in the interviews that I did to let the people know that this opportunity that Africa has, is it goes beyond the World Cup. It goes beyond this event. It goes beyond winning and losing games. This opportunity is an opportunity, I think, that, for example, there was a lot of, I mean, this might be one of the only times that there were so many different people from so many parts of Africa in one place in Africa. So it was really a good opportunity to reignite the idea of African unity, which we did. But what I told people was that, you know, because we were all unified behind Ghana, but what I said, the good thing about it is that even in the loss, we were unified in that sorrow. And that is a big picture. It's not about winning or losing. It's about the unity. So even in losing, we were unified in the grief that we felt. And that's a good thing, you know, in the bigger picture of unity. You know, sometimes it takes losing to unify. Sometimes it takes winning. It doesn't matter what it takes. As long as we're unified, you know.
Sure, it is true. I mean, in some respects, it's a petty example, but if you look at the fan base of certain clubs like the Chicago Cubs and American baseball that are perennial losers, they have the most amount of solidarity, and it can really bond people. And
Yeah. So what the big thing was after it was, you know, who knows why? You know, maybe everything is for a reason, and, you know, we all felt that sorrow, and maybe that's, you know, maybe that's what the lesson is, that we're unified anyway, you know?
Well, I definitely thought, and again, this is a political talk show about the World Cup. We talk about the games on the field and also the political cultural subtext. I really felt that it was a clear exhibition, the way the unity occurred around Ghana, that the idea of Pan-Africanism is very alive.
Yeah, but the funny thing was that when all the other African countries got knocked out, this discussion did come up while I was there with people there, you know, and we were talking about, well, you know, how good it is that it is a good thing that there's only one African country in it, because that make everybody is behind one you know, it kind of worked that way. So it was interesting that, you know, I mean, even though South Africa was out, Nigeria and Ivory Coast and Cameroon and these other countries, there was a reason why there was only one country, that one African nation that made it through, so that everybody in Africa could be unified behind one idea then, you know, so to speak. So, you know, everything for a reason, I'll just say.
Yeah, and it was a great country too, given the history of Ghana. It was a fantastic representative.
Yeah, it's the first African nation to gain independence, you know.
Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us on The People's Game. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you the one question that does stand out at this moment, which is what your thoughts might be about Holland versus Spain. Do you think one side looks better than the other?
It's a hard decision. I thought Germany was a good team, actually. I was on the plane coming back when I heard that Germany lost, so that was surprising. So it's unpredictable. I like both countries. I'm a little edging towards Holland because they're cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they've carried some things that they've allowed people to do that they wanted to do
cool,
for a long time. Yeah. Well, Ziggy Marley, thank you so much for joining us here on The People's Game.
Thank you.